long was it that you were working on the Leading Edge before Jeanette joined that group?
Well, I don't remember, but it wasn't very long.
Mm.
Maybe about 2 weeks.
Oh, so it was just a brief period that
yes,
you were alone.
Yes, yes, they brought her in, and that's right, at smoking period, I think Jeanette and I often ate something, you know, an apple or something.
Now, this work, you would basically be, was just the wing section would be there?
Just the leading edge of the wing,
just the
not the
edge.
Whole wing.
Oh.
Because, see, the leading edge was attached later to the whole wing. That was done out on, I guess, out on what they call final section.
Mm. So just the leading edge would be there, and it would be on a
It would be in a jig. No, it would
oh.
be in a jig.
Mm-hmm. And then you would take the wires and test them.
And connect them. First of all, I had to install them on there. And then, and I think that involves some soldering. I believe it did. I believe there was one point where I had to solder something. I know there were two or three wires there, and I had to install them. Yes, I think they. I think I got the classification of electrical installer then. I think I got a raise out of that. I can't quite remember. And then I checked those out.
So then you would have gone from electrical assembler to installer.
I may have. I don't remember whether I thought I was going to get to and didn't, or whether I actually did. I'll tell you, I will look over. I have a record here someplace of all the different changes of classifications,
oh.
but I'll have to dig it out. There again, that's buried in some folder. So now I'm not sure whether I just wanted to be and thought I should be, or whether I actually got to be.
Now, it was at this point, too, that you, when you were in electrical assembly, that you said you joined the union then.
Yes.
So would you... You don't recall, for instance, approaching the steward about reclassification.
I don't remember whether I did or not.
Mm.
I don't remember whether I did or not. I don't. But probably not. Probably not.
Now, what were the men? How large was the total crew under that lead?
It seemed to me there were five or six of us. There weren't very many because there wasn't much to do.
And were they doing the same things, or were they doing
no.
something different?
This one fellow was doing the plumbing. He put in the, see, it took Maud Vaughn to put those tubes in and see that they got connected properly, and he had to put some kind of goo around them, it seemed like, because the Chrissies went into a gas tank, into fuel tanks, remember. And it seemed to me when Jeanette came in, she did the same thing I did, because we were getting so many leading edges in there. They'd bring them in, and it seemed like about all the lead man did was shuffle these leading edges in and out. We'd do several a day.
So the two of you seemed to have the same job, and the men seemed to have
yes. They mostly
did
the same job. However, if the thing didn't check out, before I'd tear it out, I remember I'd always ask one of the fellows, and sometimes he'd come over and we'd see, and usually it was something wrong with the tester.
But what, do you recall, it was something that had meters on it then?
Yes, it also lighted up. There was a light went off. I remember that, and I remember it was on a cart, and they said that's the electrical checkout machine.
How did you feel about this, going into this?
It was all right. I think, when I say this electrical installer, I think I thought I was going to learn that, and I think I never did get that. See, this has been so long, so long ago, but I can remember thinking that I was doing electrical installation now. But of course, that was just on a leading edge. They said, well, they did the same things when they installed anything out on the plane. Because I never, well, yes, I did work on the Connie and the Maka, but I didn't work out on the planes in production. I never worked on in production.
It seems like the whole time, though, you clearly had your eye on the future in terms of gaining new skills.
Yes. I was always ambitious.
How long did you stay in the electrical jet out there?
Well, it seems like after a while, that was all sent to production, and we didn't do it anymore. And I went back over to the other, and I was working on these, they had us standing up. We were working on some of these jigs. I don't remember what all I was doing, but I know that I was standing up almost all day, and I was standing on cement, and my back started hurting. So, I, of course, squawked about it, and I think they decided that maybe, always because I was so small, they decided that maybe I should go into some other kind of work, at least I think that was why. So I remember going to personnel. It took a while before that transfer came through, and they wanted to put me in inspection. And but I wanted to get into the offices, and I told her I wanted to be a department clerk, and she pointed out that as an inspector I'd make more money. I told her, well, I know, but I said there again I might have to be on my feet again. And I wanted to get into the office because I figured maybe when I got in there, there might be some ways to go up the ladder there. And I didn't want to be an inspector. And I was glad many times later that I hadn't been an inspector, because I would probably have been laid off when the war was over if I'd been in inspection, because they just laid inspectors off like that because they didn't need them. You know, if you're no longer building parts to inspect, you don't need inspectors to inspect them. So it took a little longer, but I got into tool planning. Now, here, this was where they were building this Model 89. It was a two-decker plant. And it was in the same division, a different department. But you see, this was all part of the experimental, although we didn't call that experimental. It was Model 89 planning. But there was some connection. Now, whether it was, I think it was the same division. If not the same division, anyway, it was all that, it wasn't production. Mm-hmm. And that was, they needed somebody in there. So I had to go on days, I think, for 2 weeks to learn the work. And then I was to be the girl on swing. And then they finally brought in another girl to help.
And so that means that you initially were the only female on the swing shift?
I was for a little while before Florence came in. But then there were only, we had a supervisor, and I think we had mostly, they called them, project follow-up? No, project liaison. See, they had to have tool planners there to go out in the shop when something went wrong with the order. And these fellows did do some, write some orders. They did do some planning. But I liked this on swing because there was a variety of work. You didn't sit and do the same thing all day. I did some typing if I had time. But they brought in this other woman to type. She stayed a while. And, we didn't, I don't mean that we fussed or said nasty things to each other, but we weren't too companionable. But I think she didn't like, I don't think she liked working swing. And I do remember she complained a lot. And I don't think I commiserated with her very much because I thought this was great.
Exactly what was your work in this?
Well, I was considered a department clerk. They later changed those after the war and came up with department clerk types, department clerk steno, and general clerk and all this. But then they called almost all of them department clerks because in this particular department, there were certain things that would not be in another department. And I don't remember now. I'd have to look and see whether I got a raise when I went in. I don't think I did, but I went on days for 2 weeks while the lead woman showed me all the different... There was a lead woman there, but there was a man department manager and there were men supervisors, but Betty was the lead woman. And she was experienced. Now, she had worked in San Francisco, and she had worked in offices before, and she was good. Smoked a lot, but I liked Betty very much, and she was very efficient, I thought. She kind of had a time with some of those girls. Some of them didn't want to do much work.
she would be the lead, though, only of the clerks.
The typing and filing girls.
So she might be a lead of women in a couple of different departments.
No, it was all one department, but she was a department clerk lead woman.
Oh, I see.
So I've forgotten that. She got 6 cents an hour more, I think, for being a lead woman. I know she got something more.
Well, does that mean that on the other shifts there were more women working there?
Oh, on days. Oh, yes. And, of course, we didn't have a graveyard on. See, they just put the swing on because they were getting so busy. And, Betty was, she had charge of all that clerical.
Oh, I see.
The clerical part.
So it sounds like there were several layers of supervision. I mean, that it was somewhat vertical categories. If she was the lead for the clerks, and you would have a man who was maybe not called the lead, but in fact the lead for some of the planners.
Yes,
and
the planning
man,
lead man.
See,
oh, yeah, and
I
there
see.
Were several, like there were the wing planners, and there was one supervisor over that, and there was one supervisor over fuselage. And there was a supervisor over the, I think they had the same supervisor over the electrical and plumbing. And then they had, I can't think of all those categories now, but there were about five or six. The big plane was, it was a biggie. They made quite a to-do about that when it took off. The war was over then. I'm sure it led to, the later planes that had, were so big. But it had it had that stairwell with a ladder. Later, when they built a new hangar specially for it.
Oh.
And later we were transferred over there, and then we could see the big plane. They were building the big plane down here in the on the floor of this big hangar. But this was up near flight test, and we were then along the side. They had offices downstairs and upstairs.
Oh.
And we were upstairs.
Now, how about before you moved into the big hangar? What was the physical layout of your
well,
work area?
The room was too crowded. That's why Lockheed was expanding, and I don't say that critically because there just was no place else for us, and. We were in a nice building, though. We were in old mahogany row, only we were downstairs. And I remember those first 2 weeks I was on swing. One morning I went in and was about to clock out and met this nice man in the hall, and he spoke to me, and I said, good morning. And a little later I thought, well, that was Mr. Gross. What? He spoke to everybody, you know, and... good morning, and of course I'd seen his picture in the papers in the Star so much that I knew I ought to know him, so I spoke to him. But later, that was Mr. Gross.
Well, does that mean that you were right where the executive offices were?
We were downstairs.
Oh, I see.
It was kind of a funny building, but we, let's see, how do I say that? There was engineering, And then there were several buildings all right there together, and we went in. We were kind of downstairs from Old Mahogany Row. I guess you went up a long, a wide aisle, and I think his offices were down there.
Oh, I see.
But it was in, if not the same building. See, these buildings were all kind of crammed together. But it was right there, so that he used the same entrance and exit that we did.
And the executive offices were referred to as Mahogany Row.
Yeah, we called them Mahogany Row.
Now, in your office area, how many people would be working in the one room?
Oh, my. Let's see. Oh, that seems to me like there must have been 40 or 50 in there.
And how large an area would that be?
Well, it was a big room. Let's see. I suppose it was as big as, it was bigger than my two. It was almost as big as, I don't know. I can't describe it, and I'm not good at saying how many feet, but it was a great long room, and it was quite wide. It might have been, it was a little wider than this. It's about the size of my house. No, it couldn't have been. It couldn't have been. Let's see, they had, it accommodated about, eight desks with a wide aisle.
Oh.
Now, how wide would that be? It seemed just huge, and yet they had so many people. They were just, but we just kept saying, Betty kept saying, well, when we get to our new building, and of course we were anxious to get to the new building, and our department manager's desk was right in there where we were, and that, of course, wasn't good because, you know, it made it difficult for him to... And his secretary was there. She was nice. Those girls were nice. There was one. She was a character. She could type faster than anybody. But she could see that some of these other girls weren't doing so much work. So she wasn't going to knock herself out. And I don't blame her. Now I can see. But. Of course, they all knew I was going to be on swing. But I remember the first morning I was there, Betty had me filing cards. And they had these part cards. And they went in this top drawer. Well, I was short. And believe me, that was uncomfortable. But I didn't say anything. About 10 o'clock, then we started work at 8. About 10 o'clock, Warren, the department manager, had noticed that, and he had called Betty over and told her that since that file wasn't completely full, to put an empty drawer up there and bring that down where I didn't have to stretch so. And I remember over a year afterwards, when we were over in our new building, of course I was no longer filing then, I was a part sister, and there was a woman in there that was filing, and she said, well, this is dumb. Why do they got that that empty drawer on top? Why don't we start? So I told her, and she said, well, as long as you're not fighting anymore, she said, I'm going to put this up to there. And I said, sure, go ahead. I think you should. But she said, this is dumb. But I remember that, and I always kind of had a warm spot in my heart for Warren for seeing that, because some people I don't think would have noticed. But he had noticed that that I was stretching, and so they put him down. And then I began to, I had to file all those cards, and I had to file them by work order, and I began to figure out the different things on these cards and what they all meant. They were like punched cards. They were punched cards, but that was before we had the computers. You know, they were run on a tabulating machine. But I learned quite a bit in there.
So it was basic clerical work. You didn't do a lot of figuring. You didn't have a chance to use your... No one discovered that you were good at mathematics.
Well, there was no reason for it. No, it was out there in the shop with... those fellows just... I was surprised that they didn't know how to do square root or do those equations.
Well, it seems like you were again in a situation where, and this was also somewhat physically separated, where you were the only woman on the crew then, when you went on the swing ship.
On swing, until this other lady came mm-hmm. on. But there were only about, there were only about three or four men. One of them was a dispatcher, and he wasn't in there very much, but he was sometimes. One was a supervisor, but they were all out, it seemed like they were always out contacting the people in the shop, and very often I was in there alone for mm-hmm. quite a while, until Florence came in, and she didn't seem to be happy there, and I didn't attempt to contribute to her unhappiness, but at the same time, I didn't see why she was so, mm-hmm. She said she'd had better jobs, mm-hmm. and I guess she had, and I think she was used to a nicer office.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so crowded that it just couldn't be any nicer. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't room to have, and some of our furniture was, not like you see in offices in the movies or on TV, because it was hard to get furniture then. That was during the war, mm-hmm. and she had been used to a nicer office. She was a good typist.
Now, being isolated like that, what would you do during your breaks and lunch break?
Well, I could go upstairs, and there was a room off in the lavatory, but there was a room out there where they had chairs. And after I got back on swing, let's see, during the days, I think it seems like we just ate lunch at our desks. But a lot of them went out for lunch, but I took my lunch. And sometimes I ate lunch alone, but I got acquainted with other women mm-hmm. around there, and we sometimes ate lunch together.
So you didn't go back to the, once you went back on swing?
I didn't go back to that shop. It was too far. It would have been a long walk. This was up the other end of the plant.
Oh, I see. So you became somewhat separated from the women that you'd made
yes,
friends with.
Yes, the ones I had known before. But I got acquainted with some others. Mm. The work was interesting, and one thing I remember very clearly, see this, our department got a scooter, and Henry Duncan was the dispatcher, and he came in and told me we had the scooter. He said, you want to ride in the scooter? And I thought that sounded like fun, so I don't know whether, I guess we took a long break. And he was going down to this other department where I had worked, and I that was kind of, I think maybe we went on the lunch time. Mm-hmm. I believe it was at lunch time, yeah. But we probably extended the lunch hour or something. So I got to ride in the scooter and go down there and see some of the people. But I remember I had that ride in the scooter.
So you then started making friends with the women who would be in the more clerical support.
Yes,
step.
Because that's the kind that that usually came in there. Yes, I didn't really see many of the shop women from then on. They were just kind of too mm-hmm. far away.
And but you still were wearing slacks in this, or did were you
I,
able to?
No, once I got in the office, I didn't wear slacks anymore. I wore dresses. I didn't wear slacks. And even when women started wearing them here about 10 years ago, only on one or two just very few occasions, when it was something about the weather, did mm-hmm. I wear slacks. I still liked, since I've retired, I practically wear them all the time. But I still wore dresses.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you do about stockings then?
Well, that was one of the, we wore leg makeup. Did you ever hear that? In the summertime, see, room wasn't, I believe it was cool, but it wasn't cold. And particularly on, I wore leg makeup.
Yeah, did you paint a seam on your leg?
No,
I remember when I was growing up seeing women wearing leg makeup, but then I can't remember quite where I heard about actually painting a seam. On the legs.
I didn't do that. That leg makeup was one thing that was sort of a war major. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever, well, as soon as the war was over, you could buy nylons. I didn't use that anymore. I think.
But how about during the winter months? What did you do?
Well, during the winter, you had to wear, I had to wear nylons, and that was one of the things you scrounged around, and if you saw some on sale, you bought them. And, yes, I wore nylons.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like your request for transfer, which was coming out of a physical problem, was that you're deciding to go into clerical was, again, looking towards the future and projecting that this was more likely to be a job that you would be able to keep.
Yes. But even so, I mean, that back hurting was real. I mean, this wasn't anything that I dreamed up, but standing on that cement all the time.
But you're not wanting to go into inspection and rather than to clerical was, again,
looking toward the future. Yes, because I thought that people kept saying, oh, there's not going to be any jobs here after the war. I said, well, Lockheed's a big company. There's bound to be some jobs. I don't think Lockheed, they said there won't be anybody left. Well, I thought maybe I'd be one of those that would be left.
What was your notion that since women were traditionally in clerical, that by going into clerical you would more likely be
probably
able to stay?
Yes, I think so. Besides, I said, oh, I don't want to work out in the shop the rest of my life.